Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Pastor Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. Had a little family emergency tonight, couldn't be here. And it's my pleasure to sit in for him. And helping me tonight is Randy Gay, the voice that you have heard many, many times in this program. He's one of Pastor Ernie's assistants. And our guest for the night, Jim Renacci, is running for governor. And Jim, I had one final question for you before we let you go. One of the things that makes a successful run for an office is the right people to help with the campaign, who think like you, believe like you, and the resources to find the right people to staff a campaign staff quite often turns out to be a lot of the people that end up staffing the office. Will your years in business give you a pretty good selection for people to help you?
Well, I will say when you're running against incumbent, it makes it a little more difficult because people are afraid in many cases to step out and when you're challenging an incumbent. But we do have a lot of good staff and a lot of good people, and I think in the end, you know, when you win, everybody becomes your friend and everybody then wants to work for you.
Really good answer. Hey, I really appreciate your coming in tonight, and we thank you, and I'm sure from the way you answered a lot of the questions tonight, Pastor Ernie is going to want to have you back on during this and expose you to a few more people. So we just ask, you know, just say goodnight and bless you for coming on, being a guest, and all the best to you during this campaign, sir.
Well, thank you both, and bless you both as well, and have a great Holy Week as we do start one of the holiest weeks, at least in my faith and the Catholic faith, this week. So thank you again.
Be blessed. No stress.
Thank you. Hey, Randy,
change
gears. I have something. I don't know if you've heard. There's the Center for Disease Control has issued a warning about a new virulent strain of an old disease. Have you heard?
Not of an old one, but, you know, maybe they gave it another name because I saw one with another Greek alphabet like last week.
No. This is a new strain of a very old disease. The disease is called gonorrhea lectum.
Yeah, I figured you were going to say one of those.
It's pronounced gonorrhea lectum.
Yeah.
And it's really a crippling a disease, crippling a lot of the current population in the country. And this disease is contracted through high-risk behavior.
Yeah.
Keeping your head where the sun doesn't shine and listening to liberal media, you know, things like that. Many people got this back in 2020 when they voted for Biden and the liberal progressives. But the sad part about this destructive illness is it's easily cured. Now, there's a new drug coming out, a new drug for it. Can you guess what the new drug is called?
I'd say penicillin.
Called Votamout.
Votamout. I like that.
Votamout is the drug. It's pronounced Votamout. And it can be picked up without a doctor's prescription. You take the first dose immediately, and the next dose of this Votamout should be taken just before the 2020 elections.
So May 3rd should be one day, or so May 2nd. I'm sorry, in Ohio it would be May 2nd because May 3rd is election day.
Yeah, so
the
dose should be taken then. And then after that, it's take as needed.
But, you know, on a more serious note, I have a very good friend who's a physician at Cleveland Clinic, and I didn't ask him to use his name, so I won't. But he said that in San Francisco and in places like that where they have the lewd kind of behavior, the defecating and like in doorways and that they're seeing all of the old world diseases come back.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, you know, because of the rampant behavior.
Mm-hmm. The behavior creates filthy conditions.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I mean, they're seeing diseases they haven't seen in centuries, you know.
Yeah, that's the degradation of America. I want to talk tonight. I've got a special group of things I want to talk about. But first, I want to start with this. I should finish with it, but I'm going to start with it. Back in 1984, I was listening to Ronald Reagan, and he was talking to the National Prayer Breakfast in D.C. And anyway, this story came up that morning. And it's the story of Saint Telemachus. And he lived about 400 years, 400 A.D., and he's a real historical figure now. This is a true story. And we know that things were recorded by Bishop Theodoret of Cyprus, wrote about him. And he was a young Catholic priest and studied in Asia Minor. And anyway, make a long story short, he was trying to find, he'd been one of those that was running around indulging in the world's pleasure and overindulging, and finally he was converted to Christianity, and he'd been such a sinner, he, when he became, entered a monastery, became a monk. Now, he was there for years, but he dreamed of going to Rome. It was like he kept thinking as he studied and prayed, he was felt called to go to Rome. So in the year 402 AD, he left the monastery and went to Rome. And there, Rome was the hub of the world, the sin and everything.
Of course, yeah.
There was a huge crowd, and he followed the crowd, and it was going to the Roman Colosseum. And he found himself sitting in the middle of this giant crowd in the Colosseum. And he learned that the Romans had just defeated the Goths, and the emperor had commanded this big circus to be held for the celebrating crowd. And, you know, the gladiators lined up down there, and they stood and faced the emperor, and they yelled, "We who are about to die salute you," the typical greeting. And the gladiators pulled their weapons and started this horrible battle. Now, the crowd was yelling and screaming. They were in ecstasy over all the bloodletting down there, and this young monk was sickened and shocked, and all of a sudden he realized he had to do something, so he jumped up, ran toward the wall, and screaming, "In the name of Jesus, stop," but nobody heard him. So without thinking, he jumped over the wall and into the battle arena of the fighters. And the gladiators kind of stopped fighting because they were momentarily kind of surprised. Here's this tiny little monk yelling at the top of his voice, "In the name of Jesus, stop! In the name of Jesus, stop!" Well, there was silence. And then the silence turned to chuckles and then laughter. And one of the gladiators took a swing at him with a sword, toying with him, cutting close to him, trying to scare him. Others began to draw their swords, and they were chasing this little monk around the field to the laughter of the crowd. And I think a lot of people probably thought that he was a clown there for comic relief. And he kept yelling, "For the love of Christ, stop." And he kept running and dodging and ducking, and same time, louder and louder, he screamed, "In the name of Jesus, stop." Well, eventually, the gladiators, you know, got tired of the game, and one of them went over and stuck a sword through him. Killed him. There was silence in the crowd. After what seemed like an eternity, someone got up from his seat and started walking out in silence. Then another and another, until most people were getting up from their seats, walking out in silence and disbelief. The sight of the dead monk in the center of the Colosseum led the emperor and his guests to silently stand. They turned and left too. After a few minutes, the gladiators, looking around, everybody left, put their swords down, and they walked out. All that remained in that giant Colosseum was the scrawny, lifeless body of this young monk. History says that this was the very last gladiatorial game in the Colosseum.
Think about that.
The last gladiatorial
game. The last one, yeah. It did stop.
Yep, and an hour later, the emperor issued an edict forbidding any future games of war within the Roman Empire, and there was no more killing in the Colosseum.
Isn't it amazing that reality can have a story like that?
And
I love stories.
My understanding, it is a true story,
in fact,
by the historian Theodoret of Cyprus. Now, the reason I did this first is because, as you know, Randy, last week, Coach and I sat in for Ernie, and we talked about what is happening to the children in the public school system and what is happening to the children. And as I was looking today, a couple of headlines. School district to pre-K students, draw your own transgendered pride flag. New York City Pride Weekend will be June 25th through the 27th. Yeah, they're flying the Pride flag along with the Black Lives Matter flag. And as a part of the ongoing LGBTQIA, whatever they add to it, there in the Illinois School District is asking all the pre-K students, pre-kindergarten folks, identify the colors in the rainbow flag. Participate in making your own rainbow and trans pride flag pre-kindergarten. Illinois. And they're in Evanston, Illinois. They are dedicating a portion of the academic year to equity weeks. All kinds of things. Equity will be almost a month, and then they'll have Latino Heritage Month, and they're going to have Black Lives Matter School Week. There's very little education, but all these issues of the left. And then in the, they're going to bring in Equity Month to all pre-K through 8th graders and explain all this non-binary, queer, rainbow flags, on and on and on. That's just one of a bunch of. School nurse fired. She spilled the beans on students who were being given puberty blockers. A school nurse in Connecticut suspended. Then she was fired because she revealed on her own social media page that students, she did not give names, but said students in her school were being given puberty blockers, apparently without their parents' knowledge. Now, this came from the London Daily Mail. And this was the Richard J. Kinsella Magnet School in Hartford, Connecticut. She was branded transphobic and was dismissed. She wrote on a local mom's social media page and said, investigate the school's system curriculum. CT is very socially liberal, gender-confused state. She said, as a public school nurse, I have an 11-year-old female student on puberty blockers and a dozen students identifying as non-binary, all but two keeping this a secret from their parents with the help of teachers, social workers, and school administration. She went on and said teachers and the social workers are spending 37 hours a week influencing your children, not necessarily teaching the children what you think is being taught. She said, science tells us that a child's brain continues to form clear into their early 20s, Hence, we have laws prohibiting alcohol, tobacco, vaping, cannabis for children. But it's okay to inject hormones into confused prepubescent children and perform genital mutilation surgery on adolescents who aren't allowed to have alcohol, tobacco, et cetera, et cetera. So she's now fired.
But isn't it amazing?
I'm horrified, Randy.
Isn't it amazing that you don't hear anything about a parent, not a father, not a mother, not a guardian? And to me, it just makes me wonder how the NEA or the other teachers' organizations can just come in and just say that it's this now, that yellow is red and black is white and round is square. And to disagree with them on any of these fronts is to lose your job or whatever they can do to you. And that's what bothers me, is it like, where are the parents in this? Where are the parents standing up to all this? It's like everybody's standing there with their hands behind their back afraid.
Yeah, I think they're afraid, and so many, I think, are kept in ignorance. For years I've been telling the school, if you go complain about something in the school, they'll say, well, you're the only parent that's complained. No other parent has come. And they,
but Joe, I ask you, should that matter? Should that matter? That, like, if somebody is telling my child, who knows nothing about sex, about homosexuality, because that's what ends up happening with the rainbow. Come on, okay. So you tell them about the rainbow. What does the kid say? Well, what is it for? Then there you go.
Yeah,
I mean, that's and to me, it's like it shouldn't matter.
Ain't dealing with God, is it?
Right, there's no God. And this is what they want to do. But what bothers me is that I'm not hearing about one parent coming up to this school and saying no. One parent would come up and say, plead for that nurse. That nurse did the right thing. It's like the whole thing is sickening and it's wrong.
Yeah, I've got one story here that came from Fox News. Virginia parent fighting race-based admissions policy wins legal battle as case now heads to Supreme Court. They're in Fairfax County, Virginia. A Virginia parent, former PTA president who criticized the race-based admissions and all this stuff, Dr. Harry Jackson, father and former Naval Intelligence Officer, opposed the policy there at Thomas Jefferson High. And Steve Descano, a Democratic prosecutor backed by billionaire George Soros,
pursued
criminal charges of libel and slander against Jackson over tweets, you know, calling out what was going on in the school. They thought, well, we'll go after him with, you know, charges of libel and slander, and we'll get him to shut up. But he didn't shut up. He had accused them of grooming behavior in children, and they got upset. But anyway, court cleared him, and the liberals want to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. But they are trying to chill free speech. The right defense attorney for Marina Medvin, representing Dr. Harry Jackson, and this has turned out to be a huge battle, but locally he's won all the lower case, and so he did have the nerve to fight. But this is how they silence the parents. This guy was threatened with a libel suit, and they threatened to bring in the Department of Justice to go after, you know, parents and have them investigated if they stir up trouble in school boards. So the government, really, our government, this is no longer a free country like you and I grew up in, that we remember in our childhood. We are living in a dictatorship. We are watching a complete revolution, communist revolution, take place, Randy. And too many people have not realized what it is, what's going on, that this is a revolution for the heart and soul of this nation. And if the people do not stand and, like, Dr. Harry Jackson, we're going to lose this nation because whoever controls the children controls the future. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. The other thing is that if you won't fight for anything, then you'll stand for anything. And
exactly.
To me, that's more scary than anything, is that there are people sitting out here, come on, under the auspices of our voice, that they don't vote. They don't react. They don't respond. And to sit here and say that it's a shame and do nothing is, I think, a bigger crime than not knowing. And that really is the problem, that we have people sitting there that they, you're watching your friends get sick and die from COVID. You're watching all of these policies go on. Anybody that goes to the gas pump ought to know why there shouldn't be the president that we have. Because once you raise the price of gas, you raise the price of everything. Everything gets a ride on the truck, and even gas gets a ride on the truck.
Yeah.
And to me, like, if nothing else, the cost of living ought to do that. And that also determines where we send our kids, you know, how we educate our kids, feed, clothe, and give shelter to our kids. I think that we're hurt more by the people who do absolutely nothing. If you've never written a letter, if you've never cast a vote, then you're the problem too, and you're as much a problem as Joe Biden and the whole crew. It's a terrible thing. And then you sit here and you wonder what's happening to your kids. You have to go out this time. I'm urging the Ohioans. I mean, you see what happened. You see how DeWine flipped. So you need to do – now you've got a chance to do something about it, which comes once every 4 years. And that's all I'm saying is that think about it. And if nothing else, if you aren't sure, then read about it. Because most of them, I don't know. But you don't read. You need to read both sides of the argument and then come up with your own opinion. And if your opinion's different than mine, then at least you came up with your opinion. And these are the things that really have handcuffed our state and our nation too. You know, it's sad.
Well, I want to add to that. If you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem.
You are absolutely.
And people get very angry when I've been saying that for years, but yeah. I believe it to be totally true because it's lack of people fighting back that allows the enemy to win. It's like my example, the enemy has put a football team out there on the field, and the world said, oh, these are bad people, Christians. You shouldn't get involved in this blood sport of politics, so don't put a team on the field. Well, then you're letting the enemy win by default. So if you're not part of the solution to fix the problem, you are part of the problem because your silence says you are condoning what the left is doing. You're condoning what they're doing in the schools. You're condoning what they're doing on the border. You're condoning the corruption in the government itself, the lies, the distortion. You are then condoning evil, and if you're condoning evil, then you are part evil.
You are indeed part evil. You sure are. That's exactly right.
I've got one big story, but I'm going to save it for a minute. But I just want to read a couple of headlines.
Sure.
Buttigieg. Kids will be killed if teachers aren't allowed to teach about sex and gender. Education system usurping the role of parents, out of the Western Journal. The Buttigieg's husband is a teacher, been a critic of what's going on in Florida, you know. And they're basically saying that if you don't, you know, allow children to learn about sex and gender, even these young children, that you could kill them. Well, we've had a doctor on the program, or I don't know, we didn't have the doctor, but we read, put a piece that he did out. And he was saying that 80-90% of these kids that are confused about their gender, if you just leave them alone, the problem fixes itself with a few years. They go around confused a little bit, they eventually come around, and problem solved. And then most of the rest, with a little help from a good professional, they grow out of it. It's only a very, very small percentage of these children really are gender dysphoric to the point of they're really desperately ill. So what they're doing, again, is they're telling you the opposite. Whatever he says is the opposite of the truth. Then we have New Jersey. They got a hold of some sample lesson plans there in New Jersey for first graders up through fifth graders. And they could be taught that children as young as 10, that puberty blockers are an acceptable way to manage your puberty, that masturbating several times a day is a healthy way to relieve stress, and on and on, and all the books and the things are bringing in all kinds of movies, all kinds of books, and now they know the kids like videos, so they're bringing in a video, one through a group called Amaze, Puberty and Transgendered Youth, several others, What is Love Anyway? All these things are the title, and they bring in all kinds of things about sodomy and whatever.
But you know what you had mentioned about gender dysphoric, and the truth is they only want to get a hold of them when they're in gender dysphoric, because now you've messed them up for the rest of their lives.
Exactly. Well,
so they say, well, they'll only wander around for a few years while they're gender dysphoric. Well, that's it. You've messed them up for the rest of their lives. And they know that. And so that's we may as well call that the window of opportunity, because that's exactly what they use it like.
But that's why they call childhood innocence, because it takes a while for these children to find themselves. That's why they're supposed to be protected and nurtured and kept safe. But instead of that, they want the opposite. They want to shove everything at them when most of them are trying to figure out how to tie shoes and still trying to,
the other thing that they do is that they want to make it seem like everybody goes through some type of sexual misidentification or
right.
And my point is that that's not true. That's not true. Everybody doesn't go through that.
Everybody is pro-abortion.
That's right.
What? My wife goes absolutely bonkers. They're always telling me all women want abortion. All women. She goes,
no.
I just get so mad at people saying how I think, how I feel, what I want, and her friends, and they all get upset but that's what liberals do. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants to murder babies. Everybody wants to indoctrinate children. Everybody wants social, That's what the left always does. They never say what God wants.
And they never say what's right. They don't. Everybody doesn't want that.
Exactly. And then here, this is what really got me. Jen Psaki comes out, and she issued a threat to those of us who want to protect children from this transgender nightmare. She staked out a take-no-prisoners attitude regarding the Biden administration demands that everyone adhere to its social sexual agenda. And I want to quote her. She said, across the country, as we've talked about a bit here, Republican elected officials are engaging in disturbing, cynical trend of attacking vulnerable transgendered kids for purely partisan political reasons. Right. And she's saying Republican lawmakers are debating legislation that, among many things, would target trans youths with tactics that threaten to put pediatricians in prison if they provide medically necessary life-saving health care. Life-saving health care. I think if people want to mutilate their bodies and change things, well, it's a free country, but at least ought to be a legal age to vote, legal age to go in the military. If they want to do it when they're that age, fine, but they should keep it away from the children. Anyway, she came out and basically said that these people we're going to put them on notice by the Department of Justice, the Department of Health and Human Services, that laws and policies preventing health care that health professionals recommend may violate the Constitution and federal law. to be clear, every major medical association, here we go again, everyone agrees.
Say, Joe, we're coming up on the break.
We are.
Yeah, we are, like within 10 seconds.
We'll be right back.
Yep,
we'll
be right
back. With a lot more.
Now here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close a bad gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on the immigration in these great United States.
Hey, welcome back. This is What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. You're listening to Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. Had a little family emergency and wasn't able to make it tonight. And with me, Randy Gay. You'll know his voice when you hear it. He's got a distinct voice. He's one of Pastor Ernie's assistants there helping run the ministry. And we are back. And Randy, when I did that story of the monk, the Telemachus, that in the name of Christ, stop. In the name of Jesus, stop. I have three stories that each one I hope people will think and think that they need to run out and start yelling in the name of Jesus, stop.
Amen. Amen. We need more of that. And come on, this is Easter week. We really need to do this.
We really do, because, well, I've done on this program many times, I looked at the words the Lord gives us. They are all action verbs from testify, exhort, storm the gates of hell, expose the work of darkness, save those that are being led to slaughter and drawn to death, rebuke, reprove, you know, visit the sick, stand in the gap, into the battle, preach the gospel, testify, witness, obey me, on and on and on and on and on. Active verbs, right? Every one of them.
Absolutely.
Not passive, not just sit around and pray. We're to pray. We're to do other things. But all these things that he says are active. And here are the three stories I want you to comment. The first one comes from the Daily Caller News. Maryland is going to be spending $3.5 million every year to train people who aren't medical doctors to perform abortions after lawmakers overturned Republican Governor Larry Hogan's Friday veto. Last Friday, he vetoed this bill that would spend $3.5 million to train nurse practitioners, midwives, nurse midwives, physician's assistants will be allowed to perform abortions in Maryland starting in July 1st. They passed House Bill 937.
Isn't Maryland the one that has the 20, you can kill them now 28 days after they're born?
I think that might be the state.
I think it is Maryland. I'm not sure. Now, I'm not saying that I'm sure, but one state now has it where after 28 days after you've been born.
That sure sounds like this one, because they're allowing the abortion to be done by, just think, a midwife.
Yeah.
Nurse midwives capable of, they've given permission to untrained people to commit abortions. And you've been with Ernie long enough to know how many times have ambulances been in and out of the bloody houses of death there on Blood Alley.
Yeah. 12,000 Shaker Avenue.
Yeah. Blood Alley.
Yep.
And over the years that I've been on the radio with Pastor Ernie, I've heard stories so many, 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 many times, botched abortions, and that's with a doctor doing it. What is going to happen, Randy, when you have midwives, nurse practitioners doing abortions?
Well, come on, you're going to go from the abortion to the funeral home is what's going to happen.
That's what I'm afraid of.
That's me too.
These procedures are a little more complicated. I mean, you're actually taking a life, and quite often, you know, people that have had even the pill, the abortion, the death pill, people are having to go to the hospital, rushing to the hospital after they've taken the pill, the RU486, and the number of emergency visits, I guess, is rising all over the country. But the story went on to say the state lawmaker who supported this said, this legislation is necessary. It's an unfortunate reflection on the undue political influence we've seen in our public health policy. Yes, since COVID-19, public health officials have become political targets. Maryland is one of several states that are expanding abortion access, including Colorado, which recently legalized abortion up to birth. So
okay.
In Colorado, right up to 5 minutes before birth, you can do an abortion in Colorado.
That's pathetic.
In the name of Jesus, stop.
Stop. I agree. Stop.
Second story. Joe Biden, I want everyone out there to hear this. Joe Biden wants to force Christian hospitals to kill babies in abortions or shut down. Yes. Christian and conservative organizations raised alarm this week about a new pro-abortion mandate from the Biden administration, that could shut down Christian health care throughout the entire nation. Catholic News Service reports people discovered the plans for the new radical regulations buried in a legal memorandum from the Pro-Abortion Leadership Conference and a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announcement. This came from United States Department of Health and Human Services announcement. They found it. It's crafted to look like an anti-sex discrimination provision in the Affordable Care Act, but the regulation would force Catholic and Christian hospitals, doctors, and other medical workers and insurance companies to provide abortions, transgender surgeries, and other procedures with no religious exemptions. Crafted under an anti-sex discrimination act in the Affordable Care, this new regulation will force any Christian, Catholic hospital, doctor, medical workers, and the insurance companies to provide abortions, transgender surgeries, and all these procedures with no religious exemptions. And the general public has no idea what may be coming, according to Doug Wilson, who is CEO of the Catholic Benefits Association. And this has been written to end Catholic health care, or Christian health care, it should read. And, of course, there's some groups now planning some potential lawsuits if Biden does implement this. They discovered the plan in November in a 74-page court filing and began trying to spread the word. Well, I just heard of this, and you know, Randy, I do research all the time for this ministry, for the radio programs, and I had not seen this yet. So if I'm not aware, most people in the general public have no idea all that this is coming. And this document that they got a hold of revealed that Health and Human Services has promised to revise its mandates on health plan coverage and performance to include surgical abortion, cross-sex hormones, gender transition surgeries, gender-affirming cosmetic surgeries, voice modification, along with a host of expanded services dealing with fertility treatments, contraception, sterilizations, and I can't pronounce this, abortifacients. I've seen that word. I just can't think how to pronounce it. Abortifacients. Anyway, chemical abortions.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what else we haven't mentioned tonight is that the Miss Brown or Mrs. Brown, whoever she is, that just got on the Supreme Court, yep, along with John Roberts, may do us in another way on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, with
this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. This was supposed to go through a public comment process. Well, nobody's heard about the public comment process, and if enough people call their Congress creditors, senators, start complaining about this new change in the Health and Human Services that will force abortions, transgender surgeries, and all this stuff, maybe we can get the public comment period to be announced, and we actually have a chance to do something. But just think, this proposed regulation change would apply to the, you know, again, it's part of this Affordable Care Act, and would include a prohibit discrimination based on sex. That's what they're using to get in. Well, you're discriminating against women, you're and all this. It will likely apply to all health care providers, clinics, nursing homes, hospitals, group health insurance, and third-party administrators of self-funded plans. This is big, big news that is no news at all, because they have kept this quiet, under the rug, And this could end Christian medicine in America and lead us down the path to even more wrath of God. And just in the name of Christ, stop. It's hard for me to even think of what to say. I mean, these people are so sneaky, so deceitful, they just can't shed enough innocent blood, can they, Randy?
And they keep coming back.
And you notice how everything's done in secret and done without political, you know, public comment. You haven't heard anything about this. And here this group that found that they're trying to wave the alarm now. And I'll bet money it hasn't got on Facebook, Twitter, you know, any of those places, right?
But they keep coming back. And when you knock them down one way, they just come back on the other side. And they keep coming back, and you're right. And it's like, you know, they're relentless in their pursuit.
We must elect the right people. Now.
That's exactly right. And especially this time.
Yeah, we've got to get rid
it's
of
got
all
to
these
be right
crazy pro-deaf people who want to.
And people need to understand that it starts in May, not in November.
Yeah. Starts in
May. You've got to get rid of people, not in November.
Yep. And here's the last one, and this one just about very disturbing, but I'm going to tell it. This came from Live Action News. I'm going to read the headline, and then I'll tell you the story. Truly disturbing energy company accused of incinerating babies' bodies for electricity.
Oh, gee.
Aborted babies have been burned to keep your house warm. Have you heard this one?
No. No,
yeah,
I have
again,
not.
Again, it's funny. This has been going on for some time, but Tuesday morning, pro-life activists from the Progressive Anti-Abortion Uprising, called PAAU, held a group press conference regarding the recovery of five aborted children from Washington Surgery Center, an abortion facility owned and operated by abortionist Cesar Santangelo in Washington, D.C. Now, the director of this Progressive Anti-Abortion Uprising, and Lauren Handy, director of activism, stated that they were given a box of medical waste containing the remains of aborted children by a Curtis Bay Energy driver. Okay, now think about this. These two people, the Teresa Buchovinek, the founder, and the director of activism, Lauren Handy, caught wind of what was going on, and they talked to this Curtis Bay Energy driver, and he gave them this box of medical waste. Well, the medical waste was aborted babies, okay? Aborted babies, and he's from Curtis Bay Energy. Now, Curtis Bay Energy is burning those bodies along with medical waste to create energy for Baltimore, the city of Baltimore. This means, tragically, that they receive, transfer, and burn the corpses of aborted babies to make electricity for the households and businesses of the Baltimore area, said Missy Smith, one of the speakers. And she said, if you live in Baltimore, you must know that aborted babies have been burned to keep your lights on and your house warm. And we call on Curtis Bay Energy to end this barbaric practice and confirm what they have been doing. And there's a lot more to the story, but that's the big crux of it. And all I could think was that story of Telemachus, in the name of Jesus.
Stop,
Randy.
Stop.
We don't treat, people wouldn't treat their animals that way. How upset would people be if their cherished cat or dog that had to be put down for euthanasia?
You'd be in jail before you got to the end of the street.
Yeah.
And that's a fact.
People would be rioting, right?
Yep.
But if it's done to an aborted child. How many minutes left do we have, Randy?
We've got like about 3.5.
Randy, would you like to do the honor and do the...
I can do the invitation.
Did, I was going to say do our invitation. I like to call it an altar call.
An altar call. Yeah, I do. I call it that sometimes too.
Altar call. Please, the most important part of our program, everyone listen, because what we've heard, we need Christ now more than ever, and we need more born-again believers.
And because we need Christ, we need to come to the altar, everybody here. If you've not sinned, don't come, but we know that everybody has sinned. God said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has made a provision for that with his son Jesus Christ. This Sunday, we commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, and we call it Resurrection Sunday. And the proof that God approved of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice as an offer, and as an offering, was that he was resurrected, and that and because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if that's you and you believe in that, if you would confess with God, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be, and you shall be saved. And it's really as simple as that. God's done the work. God did the living, the dying, the burial, the resurrection. He now offers with open arms and open hands for you to come to, you to come to him and live forever in paradise in Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you now, if you would confess with your mouth whatever your sin is, whatever you need to do, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, then you will be saved. It is as simple as that, in believing on Jesus Christ as a perfect sacrifice to your sins. And I offer and ask everybody to do that, whether you've done it or not. And if you've done that, then bless you. You're welcome into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know whether or not you've done that. So I'm asking you to do it in sincerity, and you don't have to do it now, although we want you to. You can do it anytime you want. But please do it quickly, because you don't know when the hour is. And with that, it's as simple as that, in Jesus' name.
Just remember, it must be with a repentant heart.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen.
And I think it's approaching that time where we tell the folks out there, how much time left? Oh, just over a minute.
Just over a minute.
You got to remember, we're flying blind here. I got the call from Ernie about the emergency about 40 minutes. Folks, especially during this week, Holy Week, the most important thing is to remember that this is the week that Messiah, that Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross, took your place, my place, Randy's place. He did a substitutionary death for our sins. And unfortunately, it's one of those Sundays that more people know about the Easter Bunny than Jesus. Well, the Easter Bunny did not die for your sins. The Easter Bunny did not rise from the dead.
Okay.
The Easter Bunny will not bring salvation. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring that salvation.
We're at 15, Joe.
All right, so this time we want to say good night to all of you. Thanks for listening. We want to say good night.
Keep.
God bless. And always, always.
Keep fighting, the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.